is what brings us together today. Marriage, that blessed arrangement, that dream within a dream.
That's your crown, men. That's your crown.
So treasure your wife.
Skip to the end.
Have you the wing?
Here comes my Wesley now.
Under you, Princess Barquois.
Man and wife. Say man and wife.
Man and wife.
Escort the bride to the honeymoon suite. I'll be there shortly.
He didn't come.
That I whittled the sermon down from 13 pages to 10 pages, and you witnessed history last week. I preached for 48 minutes, and you sat through it. God bless you. Today I have 2 pages, so we'll see how this goes. I am very excited. I can't stop smiling about today's message. There is no need today for our young people to leave. We are still talking about human sexuality in the context of marriage, but there's no need for anyone to leave. I'm very excited about this message. It tickles me. I get giddy. I'm giggly. I can't help myself. I enjoy marriage. I think it's a fine institution. And unless God has given an individual the gift of celibacy, of singleness, I think everybody should be married. Of course, if you don't have that gift, then you should do that. It's a wonderful thing. And one of the reasons why I'm so giddy today and I want to uphold marriage so strongly and well is because my marriage shows me more than any other relationship or anything else in my life, no matter what it is, soccer coach, pastor, friend, community member, community ed board member, et cetera, whatever it is, my marriage shows me more than anything else what a selfish, ungrateful, manipulative, weak man that I am. And that has nothing to do with my wife. That has everything to do with me. God reveals himself in and through marriage. It is a blessed arrangement, as the priest said in The Princess Bride. I would refer you to the sermon that began this whole thing with respect to why God created male and female, the distinction of genders, the revelation of his image in humanity was Adam and Eve. There are jokes and people out there and things that have been said about this issue that cloud things. It's not Adam and Steve, and Bill Maher has his little tirades from time to time. There's no way around it, beloved. God created male and female. And it's reflected throughout Scripture and even in that passage in more ways than you and I can count. The specific application of that creation will show up November 6th. When you and I vote in our state on an amendment to the Constitution. And I don't know which lever you're going to pull or which bubble you're going to fill out or whatever, but I hope and pray that you take seriously what God has done and what he has said about how he has created you and I when you engage in our form of government. But more than that, young people, specifically, you have engaged this topic with your friends and individuals at school, on your Facebook pages and in your civics class, and where it shows up. You are to be applauded. The adults have done that too, and they are to be applauded. I'm just keenly aware of our young people and what they're facing today, and it's not very popular. It's just not. You take a lot of hits. A lot of name calling, and they're your friends. They're people that you see probably more every day than your own parents for longer periods of time. God created you male and female. And beloved, if you are married today and your spouse is here, look at him for a second. Just look at them briefly for a moment and say in your heart, that person right there is the image of Almighty God. A message on marriage often centers on scriptures that are husbands love your wives, wives respect your husbands, how to better communicate, how to take care of finances, how to be each other's friends, how to do this, how to do that in your marriage. That's not today's message. Those are good messages and they're scriptural, but that's not today's message. What is God's purpose in marriage? Page one, done. Woohoo! And Gary knows. What is God's purpose in marriage? Yes, he's revealing who he is in the creation of Adam and Eve and in the distinction of genders. People get married for various reasons. And if you come for premarital counseling, I'm going to challenge every single one of your expectations. Well, maybe not all of them. Some people come in and they don't say to me, but you know, I've read about this. And that's a lie, by the way. We're getting married so I won't be alone anymore. They have an expectation. Beloved, marriage ain't going to help that. Guilt-free physical intimacy, because that's allowed in marriage. That's absolutely true. Lots of people have lots of headaches. Social status. If I get married, I'll be accepted by my family. They've been after me for decades to get married, and I'll finally have them off my back. No, you won't, because then you're going to have grandkids. They'll never get off your back. It ain't going to happen. You're never going to have kids fast enough. You're never going to have enough kids. They have subtle ways of doing it. Many reasons why people get married. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. The nature of marriage. Very quickly. I've said that many times, but watch this, beloved, watch this. At the end of chapter 2, God has brought all of the animals to Noah. Yeah, he did that too. That's what I get for watching Evan Almighty. God brought all of the animals to Adam and he named them. Every single one, and the purpose of bringing them was so that they would find a suitable helper, and there was not a suitable helper, so deep sleep goes to Adam, rib gets taken out, wakes up, wow, look at this! Adam's response is, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she is taken out of man. I could spend 48 minutes on that verse. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. I know in our Pew Bible it says join or cling. There's different variations of that word. It's a very important word. Cleave is probably the best that we have. And they shall become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked and we were not ashamed. See the sermon 3 weeks ago. The nature of marriage is leave and cleave. When two individuals come before clergy to get married, the prerequisite is the changing of loyalties and promises. The last marriage I was part of was Tanner and Cody's. And I didn't get to do the vows. Well, no, I did Tanner's vows. I got to say some things, and I have them right here. Tanner. Will you have this woman to be your wedded wife, to live together in holy marriage? Question. Will you love her, comfort her, honor and keep her, and forsaking all others, keep only unto her as long as you both shall live? I do. I will. That's what we say, right? In the clip, you know how the movie ends if you've seen it? If you didn't say I do, you're not. You didn't. Because you didn't make the promise. What's a covenant, Michael? You signed your release time covenant. What's a covenant? It's a promise. When a man leaves his father and mother, he promises. He's changing loyalties. He's saying, I was part of this family, now I'm cleaving to this woman. All bets are off with mom and dad. It's a covenant relationship. It's not a contract. It's not a license. It's not for you not to be alone. Wonderful things. It's a covenant. It's a promise. And what God has joined, Let no man put asunder. That's the nature of marriage. You move from the, pardon me, the old covenant to the new covenant. You're no longer in the loyalty to the family. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing for the world to witness as an example of God's old covenant to his new covenant. It's a covenantal statement, and it's found in 2:23 when he said, this is now bone of my bone. At this time, all of those animals came, and nobody was found suitable. But guess what? Now there's one, and she and I are connected. We're cut from the same cloth. And it's not talking about origins, beloved. It's talking about covenant. You can look up 2 Samuel 5:1, where the tribe, the northern tribes of Israel, come down to David and say, you are bone, we are bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. Not that we're Jews, but that we are declaring our loyalty to you, David, in everything we do. And then when, I love this word picture here, where he says, she shall be called woman, for she was taken from man. The word for woman and the word for man are they're derivatives. It's not man and woman, it's actually female and male. God reiterates through the very first thing that any human is recorded as saying in Scripture, by the way. She shall be called Isha, for she was taken from Ish. And that's not Norwegian Ish. Well, sometimes it is. I mean, Ish, you know, we're guys, we're Ish. Laugh here. It's a covenant relationship. It's about loyalty and fundamentally leaving and cleaving. 1 Corinthians 7, 8, and 9, and we're done. 1 Corinthians 7, 8, and 9, the nature of being human and marriage. In the context of marriage, 1 Corinthians 7, verses 8 and 9, you can start a little before this, we really should. Verse 5, stop depriving one another except by agreement for a time that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again lest Satan tempt you because of your lack of self-control. The Bible knows about our self-control. But this I say by way of concession, not of command. Yet I wish that all men were even as I myself am. However, each man has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widow, are you unmarried today? Are you widowed? Are you without spouse? It is good for them to remain that way. But if you don't have self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. Not hellfire burn. Burn with passion. It's better to be married. Now, the nature of marriage is because we have desire and lack of self-control. The Westminster Confession says that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever, by enjoying him forever. Desire is part and parcel of being a Christian. Enjoyment is part and parcel of knowing Almighty God. You and I are not given salvation to look like bitter twits. There is joy in serving Jesus, in knowing Almighty God, and your marriage should reflect that. Stop denying each other. Come together, lest Satan tempt you. If you don't have self-control, get married. Do you know why we get married so young? Do you know why it's right out of high school? Kind of where, you know, those relationships develop. Physiologically, I mean, you know, when we're 19, 20, we're at our peaks. It's all downhill from there. Why do you think that they draft young men and women when they're 18, 19 years old, right out of high school? Because they're aggressive. Because they're the ones that are going to go after it. You got a young boy or a young girl chasing after you and they're in their teens, guess what is kicking in? They could be godly people. I don't care about that. Guess what's at work? Don't be fools. It's better to marry than to burn. I'm not saying that their dating relationship, I have a whole sermon on dating, that their dating relationship is illicit or whatever, but open your eyes when that's going on. Young people, I'm talking to you, not just your mom and dad. We were all young once. We know. We've been there. We get it. That's why you marry. And it's a good thing. God has provided it for that. It's a covenant, not a contract. Ephesians 5:18. You know this one, right? Be filled with the Spirit. Beloved, pay attention to this. And you probably have before. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and to be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, be subject to your own husbands, says to the Lord. See, that's a sermon on marriage, right? That's the one, right? That's a how-to. Be subject to your husband, right? For the husband is the head of the wife. Woohoo! As Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also a wife ought to be to her own husband in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Ooh. Yeah, okay. Just as Christ loved the church. Ooh. And gave himself up for her. To which all the women say, no, you can do better than that. How come you're not as excited as I am about this? It's all right. That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought to also love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother. By the way, Adam didn't have a mother and father. Who was he leaving? That's right, Alex. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Ooh, big. Okay, here it is. This mystery is great. That's why I know how weak I am. But I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Beloved, I asked you to look at your spouse earlier. Is that how you see your relationship? Are you a demonstration of Christ and the church to your children, to your church community, to your neighbors? Is that what they see when they look at your marriage? It's what they should see. Now that we're all feeling guilty because I'm so excited, because we utterly fall short of that every single day. Young people, married for 55 years, unmarried widows, remember this. Remember this. But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You remember that when you go into the voting booth next week. You remember that when you engage people at school or wherever. You take Grace's encouragement to stand. It's a holistic argument. It's not a peace argument. It runs from Genesis 1 through Revelation 21. 22? 21. It's not Leviticus and the holiness code separated from Romans 1, separated from John 3. It's a holistic argument. You and I are followers of Christ, lovers of God. If you're not, I challenge you to consider that today. That you should look at the one who loves you and demonstrates that love through Jesus Christ. Leave and cleave. Covenant, not contract. It's better to marry than to burn. That concludes our sermons on human sexuality. I would be glad for email questions, premarital counseling situations, marital counseling situations. There's work to be done. And we're pulling up our bootstraps and doing it. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for today, for this time that we could spend in your word, looking at your purpose for marriage. It is what brought us here together today to hear what you have to say about it. That dream within a dream that is the reality of Christ and his church. So we pray these things for your glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our young people will come up.